Hey everybody, welcome into the audio-only version of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. We are available on all of the podcatchers which you have because you are here. We are also available on YouTube and Rumble, as well as several social media platforms. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social is going to have all that information. We thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to us. If you want to further support our mission and our vision and help us reach more people, jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. Click on that Patreon link, which is going to help you come alongside and support us at our various Patreon tiers. At our Apostle and Disciple tier, you get monthly time with JB and I, and you get an end-of-year swag gift to thank you for your support. Today, JB and I continue our series, The Supplier, as we talk about the supplier in doubt, and we share a pour of a 15-year-old Knob Creek. Now, sit back, settle in, let's go. Cue the intro.
There's a lot of big news stories today, a lot of major headlines today, but the biggest headline is we're recording another episode of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. Isn't that amazing?
Finally, some good news that you can get behind, right? It's a bipartisan effort to bring you a great show. So
awesome. So this is like JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. On this podcast, we talk about things that we're passionate about. We are passionate about Jesus, Holy Scriptures, the truth that we find in God's word, and we're also passionate about good whiskey. So while we talk about the things of God, we have a couple of pours along the way. My name is JB. I'm a pastor at a Reformed church in Ohio, and with me, as always, wearing an amazing t-shirt,
right,
is Fancy Rob.
Thank you, JB, and welcome in, everyone. So I do want to take a little bit of time to tell you who we are, where to find us. So like JB said, I am Fancy Rob. Let's be honest, if we put a poll up right now, the better half of the podcast. So
well, and I would dare say you are the fanciest of all Robs.
Ergo my name. Speaking of which, I'm the real Fancy Rob on several platforms. So you can follow us at jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. That's going to have all of our social media links, the real Fancy Rob. It's also going to have our email, how you can reach out to JB and I. It's going to have information on our Patreon, how you can come alongside us and support us. Also, like we're going to be doing later tonight, have a nice hangout with some of our Patreon tier members and enjoy some fellowships and some other pours. So jbbibleandbourbon.com. It's also going to tell you how to find us on all the podcatchers and watch us in glorious HD video on YouTube and Rumble.
All right. Well, you know, you can see my sweatshirt today, my Harley Davidson sweatshirt. I inherited my father's motorcycle when he passed. It's a 2004 Harley Davidson Road King Classic. Beautiful big bike. I just started learning how to ride. And today, Rob, I changed the oil myself.
Nice.
I legit did an oil change and
excellent
was cleaning it down. And, you know, sometimes they say that your personality often reflects the type of bike you drive or the type of bike you ride. Reflects your personality. And as I've started to ride and as I'm getting into it, I can kind of see that, right? Because today I woke up too tired and exhausted. Just like a motorcycle.
There it is. Just like a motorcycle. All right. We're going to move on from that.
What?
So that's what you bring us on this good news episode of JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk?
Well,
all good news episodes of JB Bible and Bourbon Talk when you think
I did change the oil myself. I felt very proud of myself.
And you replaced the ventricle phalange, of course.
Yes.
Like one does. Otherwise, the bike just explodes next time you try to drive it. So I know you did that.
I did. Right?
Yeah, definitely go back and check that.
And the Canuter valve.
Ooh, that one. People miss that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People miss that one a lot. So speaking of which, not really, but ooh, that's good. That's a tasty sandwich. Mm-hmm. And it's right by a cigar shop. A little geographical inside information for you if you're anywhere near me. So yeah, let's put something in our glass.
Sure. Let's do that. I already put something in my glass. It's ready to go.
What'd you go with?
I actually went with Roaming Man Rye, bottled in bonds.
Very nice. Tasty one. I went with same proof and a bottled in bond as well. The McKenna 10-year.
McKenna. Excellent choice.
Yeah.
So today, well, cheers, my friend. Cheers, my friend. And so today we're continuing to look at the series, The Supplier, where we're looking at the life of Elijah. And I'm sure if you're like me, you've suffered doubt at some point in your life. If you suffer with doubt right now, this message is for you. You know, whether you suffer in doubt over the small things, you know, will I make it to dinner on time? Will I get to where I'm going on time? Am I going to be happy today?
You know, all will I show up on time to record a podcast?
Exactly.
Somebody comes in late. Yeah.
And then has me reorder everything that I had set up.
Exactly.
Anyways, or there's also the big doubts in life, right? Maybe you have somebody who in your life who's sick and you don't know if they're going to get better, or maybe your relationship isn't going as you want it to and you don't think it'll get better, or you don't have a job, you know, or maybe you have doubts whether or not God exists. Maybe you doubt to believe in him, or maybe if you believe in him, you doubt that he really loves you. You know, we all, you know, suffer from doubts, and what doubt does, it distracts us from the truth of who we are and the truth of what God has promised us. And it's okay to have doubts, you know, but it's not okay to let those doubts drag you down. It's not okay to let those doubts lead you. That's God's job. God's job is to lead you. And I want you to know that in your doubts, what God does is he supplies us with truth. And so, like I said, we're looking at key moments in Elijah's life. And today we're going to see how God supplies truth for us in our times of doubt. So before we get into today's message, Rob, would you pray for us?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for shining your truth in the light of our doubt. Father, for coming alongside of us, for lifting us up, for holding us, for the assurance that you will be there. Father, I pray for anyone who's struggling in doubt, who's listening, who's watching, who's hearing these words today. Father God, I just pray that you make your presence known, that you come alongside them and encourage them and hold them up, Father God. I pray for anyone who's hardened or doesn't necessarily want to hear about letting go of the doubt, Father, I pray that you soften their hearts, that you soften their minds, and let them hear your word today. Father, we give this over to you, and we thank you and we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, we're looking at Elijah's life. So that brings us to 1 Kings, and we're going to look in chapter 18. Verses 20 through 24 says this. So Ahab summoned all the people and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah talked to them. How long are you going to waver between two opinions? He asked the people. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. Then Elijah spoke again. I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, he told them. But Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two young bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of the altar, but without putting any fire under the wood. And I will prepare the other young bull and lay it on the wood on the Lord's altar with no fire under it. Then pray to your God, and I will pray to the Lord. And the God who answers by sending fire to light the wood is the true God. And all the people agreed to this test. What we see here is up to this point in the life of Israel is that they have been kind of wavering in faith between the true God of Israel and with Baal. And so what you had was this mixture of religious practices where they take some of what they, you know, their Jewish beliefs and mix in some Baal worship. And what we're seeing here is that God is telling them to make a choice between him or Baal, which is drawing them away. Baal is drawing them away from the truth of who God is and drawing them away from his promises. Because when we divide our obedience between anything else and God, you know, that's how doubt creeps in. But Israel had been stuck in this rut for so long that they're in their lukewarm faith that they would need a little bit of a push. And that's where Elijah comes in, right? And so, but Elijah, he comes in, you know, they're up on top of the mountain. It's one prophet of God versus 450 prophets of Baal. And those are just terrible odds, you know, odds for that the normal person would say are impossible to overcome. And I can imagine the Israelites just looking, you know, at the 450 prophets of Baal and then back to Elijah and thinking there's no way, there's no way this can happen. And that's the first point of our message today is that your doubts can make you feel like the odds are stacked against you.
Yeah.
And that's what doubt does. It makes you think there's no other way. What I'm facing is bigger than handle, and I doubt that God can get me out. And maybe, you know, it's like you think you're too far in debt. You'll never get out, or you're too depressed and you'll never be happy again. Or I've been unemployed for too long. I'll never find a job. Doubt makes you feel like the odds are stacked against you.
Absolutely. And I think we'll pick back up where we were in the scripture. So 1 Kings 18, 30 through 35. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." And they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and used the stones to rebuild the Lord's altar. Then he dug a trench about 3 feet wide around the altar. He piled wood upon the altar and cut the young bull into pieces and laid the pieces on the wood. "Fill the barrels with water," he said, "and pour the water over the carcass and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do it again." And they did. "Now do it once more." And they did. And the water ran off the altar and filled the trench. You know, just for good measure. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, they do it once, which seems impossible to overcome. Do it twice.
Uh huh.
Even more. Let's go for number three. Right.
And
then that's building up. So now it seems even more impossible that God's going to, obviously not to us as, you know, modern day readers of the scripture, but to followers of Baal, right? There was no way that God was going to be able to work through, for whatever reason, right? Three times doused in water. So sometimes, point two, right, mm-hmm. Our doubts can make us feel like the situation is impossible. And if you were a follower of God watching this, you would think, all right, that's excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's impossible.
Well, yeah, and that's where the Israelites are in this passage, right? The mm-hmm. odds are stacked against them. Mm-hmm. And what does Elijah do? He does something completely ridiculous.
Double down.
You know, and remember, Elijah is trying to convince these people mm-hmm. to turn from their doubts and turn back to God. But so far, he's not doing a whole lot to convince them, right? 450 to 1. And then he's surrounded by these prophets, and then he starts dousing the altar in water. You know, it would have seemed impossible at that point for the altar to be ignited. When I wrote this message, I looked into how much water would have been used there in that instance. And so, you know, it's agreed upon that those pots in question were probably big enough to hold 20 gallons of water. And so we're potentially looking at 240 gallons of water, mm-hmm. you know, and you think, man, this is stupid. Why would Elijah do something so crazy? Yeah. But it was to make this miracle seem more glorious mm-hmm. and more unquestionable and so much more successful, to show that God is bigger than anything. Yeah. You know, Jesus is the living water sent to set our hearts on fire. So, and he's using a lot of water. And if you remember the context of this passage, they're in a drought.
Yeah.
You know, 240 gallons of water is a lot of water to be wasting. Water was in short supply. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. And so that amount of water was valuable, and you wouldn't want to waste one single drop. You know, they would have needed it to water crops or to drink or to cook. But Elijah knew what God had promised him. God had promised him that the rain was coming, and he didn't let his doubts dissuade him. So he had to believe, right? Elijah had to believe that no matter the obstacle, no matter what we do, no matter what cost, God will provide, and that God would bring the rain. And the water represents faith, faith that God can do the impossible, a faith that God can provide for us. And so our doubts, yes, they can make us feel like the odds are stacked against us. Our doubts can make us feel like our situation impossible. But with God, you are never outnumbered. With God, nothing is impossible. And so when we go back to 1 Kings, verses 36 to 38, it says this: "At the customary time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah walked up to the altar and prayed, 'O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, prove today that you are the God of Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you are God and that you have brought them back to yourself.' Then suddenly fire flashed down from heaven and it burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even evaporated all the water in the ditch. And before we begin to kind of unpack all of what happened right here, I've got a question for you, Rob.
Yeah.
What's in your glass now?
I was hoping you would ask that.
Were you now?
I'm going to be going for some Eagle Rare.
Nice.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a theme, not a full theme. It appears as though you have a more complete theme than I do.
No, I don't.
No?
I do not have a complete theme.
What are you pouring there?
Ezra Brooks Distillers Collection. This is an OHLQ pick.
Nice.
And Kitty Cat Glass, of course.
Absolutely. I do love the Ezra Brooks Distiller Collection. It's a lower price point, high proof, and for those picks, and they're always good. At least all the ones I've had.
That one's not too shabby. There's a grapey fruitiness to it, and high rye spice. It's delicious. Yeah. So we look back at the passage that I just talked about. You know, remember the altar is doused in 240 gallons of water, and Elijah prays. And all of a sudden, the fire comes down from heaven, and it just incinerates the altar. And there's no way that could have happened outside the will of God. You know, Elijah had every right to believe that this wouldn't happen, that it couldn't happen. But he believed in the true God. You see, our doubts may have us think that our situations are impossible, but God makes the impossible possible. So our third point today is, in your doubts, God is your supplier of truth and encouragement. And here's the thing. Like I said, you may feel like odds are stacked against you, but in your doubts, God is the supplier of truth. And the truth is, God can make it happen. Elijah trusted. He believed. He prayed. He acted in faith. And then God brought down the fire. And Elijah got to witness the impossible. The entire altar burned down. And it says, including the stones.
Yeah.
That's a hot fire. That's a hot fire. And that altar should not have been set aflame outside of the hand of God. Not only did God set it aflame, he incinerated it. But he didn't just incinerate the altar. What he did was he incinerated their doubts in his holy fire in that moment. And it was just this beautiful, miraculous fire. The fire on the altar was sacred, that it had purifying and sanctifying power coming straight from God. A fire so hot that it would burn down rocks doused in water. That flame burned in such a way that it's beautiful that people turned back to God. That was the true miracle that day. That was the true heat, a return to worship, a turning of hearts to God. Doubts were destroyed on the altar that day, and hearts were set ablaze in truth.
Yeah, and the faith of Elijah during this, because, I mean, let's be honest, if this wouldn't have worked out.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, you have faith that God's going to deliver, but you still have that little, okay, I just, you know, wasted all this water and there's 450 of them. And yeah, this may not end well for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, King Ahab wasn't happy with him. Jezebel wasn't happy with him. And he's essentially surrounded by the enemy. Yep. If this didn't happen,
he's done.
It was a death sentence, right?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though. In your doubts, God supplies you with truth. And the truth is, we are his children. And in that, God sets us free. You want truth that sets you free from doubt? You want truth that incinerates your doubt? Listen up. We are God's special possession. He wants us to turn to him in our doubts.
Yeah.
Why? So that he can burn those doubts in the flames of his altar.
Yeah, and I think that I'll jump on into 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I love this passage because it says, it doesn't just say we're his possession, but we're his special possession. And you may doubt it, but you are God's child. You are his special possession. You may doubt it, but God loves you. You may doubt it, but God will get you through it. You may doubt it, but one day it will be better. And so what, you know, I want us to, I call for us to do today is to set our doubts ablaze on God's altar. Let us throw our doubts onto his altar. Let them be carried away. Let him eliminate our doubts with his holy fire and replace them with truth. And that's what God did for Israel that day. And that's what he does for us today. He sets us free and he removes our doubts. And so if you would continue on in 1 Kings, Roberto.
Yeah, so 1 Kings 18:39 through 40. And when the people saw it, they fell to their faces upon the ground, shouting, "Jehovah is God! Jehovah is God!" Then Elijah told them to grab the prophets of Baal. "Don't let a single one escape," he commanded. So they seized them all, and Elijah took them to Kishon Brook and killed them there.
Brutal. That was metal.
It was metal.
But if you remember earlier, I said your doubts can make you feel like that your situation is impossible. Understand this. In your doubts, not only is God your supplier of truth, but he is your supplier of encouragement. You see, God showed up that day. He showed the Israelites that nothing was impossible for him. Nothing could stop him. Not 450 prophets of Baal, not Baal himself.
Yeah.
You know, not 240 gallons of water doused on the altar could stop him. He set the altar ablaze. The Israelites witnessed his great miracles, and they were encouraged in the power and the presence of their great God. And God shows up for us today, you know, and nothing can stop him. Nothing that we face, not depression, not exhaustion, not financial stress, not fear, not pain, not sickness, not even death can stop our God. Sometimes we get caught up in our sin and that makes us feel like it's impossible when you're drowning in sin. But know this, that Jesus died for your sins. Our sins were incinerated on the altar that is the cross of Jesus. Nothing is impossible for our God. The odds are never too great for Jesus. No one is ever too far gone for God. The impossible becomes the possible in the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if we look at Psalm 40, I love how this kind of summarizes that or brings it all together. It says, "I waited patiently for God to help me. Then he listened and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out from the bog and the mire, and set my feet on a hard, firm path and steadied me." That easy for me to say. Steadied me as I walked along. "He has given me a new song to sing of praises to our God. Now many will hear of the glorious things he did for me and stand in awe before the Lord and put their trust in him." And that's what happened that day on the mountain, right? The Israelites got to see God do this miraculous thing, and they were able to tell other people of the glorious thing they saw God do for them. They got to stand in awe before the Lord and put their trust in him. God is not going to leave us in our doubts. He will not let us drown in despair. He will lift you up. He will put a new song in your heart, a song of salvation, a song of joy. That's what it's like to be in a relationship with Jesus.
Yep. And I think, that sums it up well. So I think with that, y'all, we'll be right back. Oh, with our feature pour. And we're back.
You like to drill out the "and."
Back. I do. It's my time, JB. So
it's your time to shine.
This is my time. So thank y'all for coming back, for hanging around through the Cork Pops. We have a squirrely little friend who is very excited to see everyone. He is camping behind the Knob Creek 15 that is still in its wonderful home. JB, if you could break it out of its home so Mr. Squirrely Fingers can show us the bottle.
I gotta do a break-in.
That's right.
He said break him out of his home.
Break him out of his home. And then move the home out of the way. I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh. you have been so demanding of me today that I can't.
I don't blame you.
So I'm looking for a co-host. Now, you should be. In that, you got to realize you got to do most of the work. You know, all the editing.
Most.
And all of the everything.
Especially the on-air personality piece. You got to really carry that. So there we have the Knob Creek 15. From Mr. Squirrely Fingers, actually from Jim Beam. It is clocking in at 100 proof, fast math, JB. me what is that ABV?
I would like to go on record as saying 50.
Okay, fantastic. That was sadly not slowed down for the podcast. It is obviously age stated 15 years. The mash bill is 77% corn, 13% rye, 10% malted barley. MSRP as of today, if you could find it, which you can't, in North Carolina is $119.95 per ABC. So that is the Knob Creek 15 year. Let's get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. This was actually a gift to me. This is the 2019 release. It was given to me as a pastoral appreciation / birthday gift.
Outstanding.
By one of our Patreon supporters, Mr. Lee Carter.
Well, thank you, Lee. I will enjoy this as well.
Now, I've shared this with our bourbon group before, and actually, I think that's when I cracked it for the first time, was at one of our bourbon nights. Anyways, let's get into Genouche.
Mm-hmm. It's really nutty. I don't know if that's because of Mr. Squirrely Fingers.
It is. He's been getting his nuts together for winter. It's like a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, because there's that. Not a jelly, but there's that little dried cherry, like a sweet fruit.
Have you ever done a peanut butter and honey sandwich?
I've had peanut butter and honey toast. So effectively. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that
to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's a little bit of vanilla. It's weird. So
is it weird?
Weird in a good way.
Or are you weird?
Both. Can't it be both? So it's not, and you're going to say this is pretentious, but.
Yep, I am.
Similar to a viscosity on the palate, it's almost a thick nose, if that makes any sense at all.
You can't make fun of people's features, Rob.
I know. It really sticks in there, though.
You know what really made it pretentious? As you're explaining it, you're going.
I have to give the visual. I mean, come on.
So that's really what made it pretentious. So...
Well, what I'm saying.
What are you saying? It's got a thick nose.
It's got a thick nose.
You can't say that.
A lot of commoners wouldn't really understand.
You can't you can't make fun of somebody's nose.
I'm not making fun of someone's nose. Rude. I'm saying this has a delightful.
You are saying it has a thick nose, Rob. That's essentially saying it has a big nose. So you're saying it's a clown. And it's not a clown.
That's a leap.
It is not a clown. It is.
Look, it's 15 years old. It can take it. It can take the making fun of.
No, it can't. Not when you're 15 and you're getting called a clown by a grown adult.
I feel like I've hit a nerve. This is very close to home.
Do you want to talk? All right. So it does. Like it's a very heavy nose. There's a lot. I know. After all that lecturing.
After all that.
I mean, I'm part of the problem.
You are. I mean, we're all of the problem.
What's going on the palate?
Oak. Yeah. It's a lot of oak.
I don't even know why I said it like that. Old oak tree going, oak.
Right. Like those living trees and those Christmas things that you see every now and again. I think Columbus used to have one. We used to go down to it when I was a kid. And it would read stories to you.
What?
We used to drink a lot as children. So
I'm trying to figure this out, Rob. You had trees talking to you when you were a kid.
Yes.
See, I was going to go.
It was at a store during Christmas time. So it was on purpose.
What kind of cough medicine were you taking? I was going to go with a Lord of the Rings reference with the tree ends. But you went with.
That's better.
I was a kid and trees talked to me.
Yeah, mine's, I mean, which one is more entertaining?
Lord of the Rings.
Someone who's seen a movie or someone who's talked to a tree? That's all I have to say about that. So, it's an earthy sweet with that, with that oak or that
oak.
What's strange is not strange, but you don't often get. I'm getting the same thing on the palate as I got on the nose.
Yes,
and I don't always get that.
No, I see what you're saying. That's 100%.
You add in the oak to it, but otherwise, it's super similar to the almost identical to that nose.
You get that nuttiness. You get that sweetness right underneath. Mm-hmm. A hint of vanilla. Yeah. I feel like it's a honey sweetness to me. I can't get beyond that peanut butter and honey sandwich.
No, I can see
with
that.
Great oak that really the oak kind of ties it together.
It does, and the oak carries it through to the finish, which is nice. It's especially for 100 proof.
Yeah, this it's got is a great nice, finish.
Yeah, it's got a great finish. More of that oak, that caramel, because that oak kind of is what bridges you from the palate into the finish for me, from the flavor. And those dark fruits, you know, keep coming through. There's a little bit of spice that drops. Mm-hmm. It's a really nice finish. It's moderate. I mean, it's long for 100 proofer. That's for certain. You feel it a lot longer than you would expect to feel 100 proof.
Yeah, and I can still kind of taste, you know, on my palate, well, on the finish, that whiskey.
Really, yeah,
it just really kind of sits with you for a little bit, like a good friend or a tree telling you a story in a department store.
In a shopping
store.
Mall in Columbus, yeah.
I'm still confused, Rob, but I don't.
That's all right.
I don't know that I want to dig into.
You don't want to dive too deep into this.
I don't even know what you're even saying. Yeah, like,
we'll tell you like a Christmas story.
A tree.
Yeah. Look, if your childhood was boring and bland, I can't help you. We had talking trees.
So what store were these talking trees in?
I do not remember.
Okay.
I do not remember. I believe it was Columbus, might have been Cincinnati, but it was.
But
it
you
was
don't a, remember the store?
Don't remember the store.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to remember the name of a store when there's a talking tree.
Yeah, you would be more focused on the talking tree.
It overcomes you as a child.
Yeah. I get that. How old were you? Like 21, 22?
I was 37.
37?
I was a wee lad. A wee lad of 37.
What story does a tree tell you? What Christmas story was? You don't even remember? You just remember there was a talking tree telling Christmas stories.
Yeah.
Man, I don't even know how to react to this. My mind is just blown.
Clearly.
Did it have like a mouth? Did it have a face?
Yes, it did have a face. It was very expressive. Okay. It wasn't just a tree with words coming out. That's stupid.
That's ridiculous. What I'm trying to figure out.
Like, it's a tree that talks and has a moving mouth. Don't make this juvenile.
So it had eyes and a mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
And a name.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name?
It shall not be mentioned.
Old Hickory?
Probably. Old Man Hickory.
Now, Maple. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm having my doubts now.
Okay.
We've been talking about doubts today.
I mean, I'll douse that tree in water right now, right. And we'll see what happens.
So we have been talking about doubts today. And I don't even know where to go with you and your trees, Rob. But, you know what? Maybe the forest of talking trees is where Proofy the Bear lives.
It might be. I mean, it's what makes sense, and he's been following me since I was a child.
So
all for this moment.
And we did say before we started recording that we haven't really dug into the lore of Proofy the Bear yet, but
the Proofy lore.
It sounds like Proofy the Bear might have been orphaned in a store in Columbus,
and raised by talking trees.
And you didn't know it. You were visiting him every Christmas, Rob.
Isn't that nice?
That's a heartwarming tale.
It is.
So anyways, we talked about doubts today and how our doubts can make us think that things are, you know, the odds are stacked against us, that things are impossible. But the truth is that with God, the impossible becomes the possible. Hmm. You know, when you have a relationship with Jesus, you have this great hope, this almost impossible idea of eternal life with him in heaven. He went to the cross to die for your sins, that you might be forgiven of the sinful things you have done. And he rose from the dead so that you could have eternal life. And that's a greater story than any tree could ever tell you, Rob. I'm just going to let you know that.
I mean, that's true.
So if you want to know what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus, or you have questions, you have doubts, if you have doubts, let us know. We want to walk you through that. We want to let you know what it means to live in life in grace. So if they want to reach out to us, Rob, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So you can find all of our information, jbbibleandbourbon.com/socials. That's going to have all of our social media links. It's going to have how you can reach out to us directly. You can email us, rob@jbbibleandbourbon.com, jb@jbbibleandbourbon.com. Again, it's going to have our Patreon links. Click on that. join. That'll help support what we do here on this channel and this podcast. Also get you a monthly time with JB and I, hang out, have some fellowship, some great conversation, year-end gifts. At the Apostle tier, you get to come on and co-host a show with us. So a lot of great things going on there. jbbibleandbourbon.com/social.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Like I said, if you want to know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, reach out to us. We want to have your doubts destroyed on the altar of God. And so until you join us again, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
See y'all next time.